These omens don't bode well, Mother. Mankind may be facing its darkest hour.
Then mankind will have to face it alone.
How can you say that?
Whatever happens beyond these shores is not our concern.
I am Diana, Princess of the Amazons.
These beasts invade our home and defile it with their presence. Enjoy your trip back to hell.
Everybody, and welcome back to Wonder Woman, Princess of the Amazons. This is a very special episode where we're talking about the Wonder Woman animated film that was released in 2009. I'm your host, Andrew Pinkham, and before we dive headlong into this episode, I have a few things to talk about, but before we do that, I wanted to introduce our co-host for this episode. She is a fellow Wonder Woman podcaster, talking about the 1940s, post-crisis, New 52, and the Wonder Woman 1970 TV show. I'd like to give a big welcome to Angela from Wonder Woman Warrior for Peace. What's up, Angela?
Hi, Andrew. Thanks so much for having me. This is really awesome.
Oh, hey, no problem. You know, and I wanted to say this publicly. I appreciate you welcoming me back after literally a four long year hiatus. And it seems like you and Matt over at Radio Themyscira has picked up the slack, as well as a lot of other podcasters, which I am thrilled about.
Yeah, it's really awesome seeing how many there are now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, think there's like 9 or 10 of us out there now.
I just discovered yesterday another one that it started like 3 years ago and it only lasted 3 episodes. And he said, "Oh, this is my final episode." But yeah, it's getting crazy.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous out there. But I appreciate you. You agreeing to come on and talk some Wonder Woman. We're going to be talking about the animated movie today, which I can't wait to talk to you about. So,
Yep,
good deal. But before we do that, I wanted to hop into some Wonder Woman news. According to Forbes, the Wonder Woman film starring our favorite Amazonian has now crossed into the $700 million worldwide box office numbers. It has eclipsed now Man of Steel as far as the DC Expanded Universe. It still has a little bit to go up against Batman v Superman, which drew $873 million. What are your thoughts on this, Angela? I mean, this is a pretty big feat for our favorite Amazon princess.
I am overjoyed that it is making so much money. Part of me would love to see it go over a billion. I don't know that that's necessarily going to happen because it's been out for over a month by now, or just barely a month, I think. But yeah, it would be amazing if it hit a billion. I'm not holding my breath, though.
Right. No, I'm not holding my breath either.
But I do think beating Batman v Superman is definitely a possibility.
Yeah, I think so, too. Depending on, I mean, she's losing theaters now, I would well imagine. I mean, it was released in the first weekend of June. It's now the first part of July. So I don't know how much longer a lot of the theaters are going to be keeping her film around. But,
yeah, especially with Spider-Man coming out and, the summer movie season is in full swing at this point.
That not only that, but Thor is coming out in November, so I mean, that's probably the tail end of the superhero films that I can think of off the top of my head, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for it to top Batman v Superman, because I mean, I don't know how you feel about Batman v Superman, but it wasn't DC's best. I probably think Wonder Woman is probably the best part of that film.
Very much agree.
And I'm a huge Superman fan, so
yeah.
I mean, I was a little disappointed at how it was treated, but I'm a firm believer that Zack Snyder needs to stay far away from the Superman property. I was kind of happy that he left Justice League in the capable hands of Joss Whedon, but I wasn't very happy with how he left. I mean, that's a
personal tragedy. Was so sad.
Yeah, not a good thing to deal with.
I don't know, because they're only doing, Joss Whedon's only doing the reshoots, right? I'm not sure he's going to affect the overall tone of the movie that much, especially since he said, you know, it's still going to be Zack's movie, still going to be Zack's tone.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how much that's going to affect the overall movie. I don't even know how they'll work it in the credits, you know, if it'll say Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon, or they have to say list them separately, or I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I have no clue either, you know. I mean, and it was really cool of Joss Whedon to step in for Zack. I mean, not many other directors would do that, you know, but I mean, I'm glad Justice League wasn't canned, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, they're not going to can it.
Isn't that what happens?
They're not going to can Justice League at this point. They've got
too much invested in
principal
that.
Photography is done. They're only doing the reshoots, and they've hyped it up so much at this point. We're not going to have what was that one called, Justice League Mortal, where they canceled it like 3 days before filming was supposed to begin.
Yeah.
That's not happening at this point.
It's
full steam ahead from here on out.
Sure. Yeah. No. For sure. So, what are your hopes for a Wonder Woman sequel?
Oh, a sequel? I'm not sure. Modern day is probably the setting that they're going to go for, but I'd kind of like to see, if not set across the decades, then maybe like flashbacks or some kind of montage of her working, you know, to help save women and other, you know, fighting wars in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, and I have this idea of her teaming up with Etta Candy to help kick off the women's rights movement in the 60s, and all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I mean, I think you're right, though. I think flashbacks are probably going to be I don't know if you watch much DC TV, I don't know if you watch Arrow or anything like that, but...
not too much, no.
Arrow does a lot of their flashbacks, you know, like the time of Oliver on the island. So, I mean, it's done all the time in TV. So, I think they can pull it off successfully. I don't want the whole movie to be in flashbacks. I mean, that would just be silly. But I'd like to see her starting to interact with some of the members of the Justice League and maybe introduce, I don't know, maybe either Cheetah or Circe or maybe even do something more with the gods, you know. I mean, we got a very small taste of that in the actual Wonder Woman film.
Mm-hmm.
So
if they do, I mean, the gods are dead. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
but if the gods are dead, I would kind of, if we're going to do some kind of flashbacks, it would be neat to flashback to see Mount Olympus at some point.
Yeah.
And if they happen to cast Linda Carter as Aphrodite, not that she couldn't play Aphrodite, but I prefer Athena. I think she would make a brilliant Athena if that just happens
agree.
To work out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that would be an amazing casting choice for Linda Carter as Athena. But I'm not. Who would you want to cast as the, or not cast, but who would you want the villain to be in the sequel?
I don't know. We've got a fairly big list. Circe is probably at the top, along with Cheetah. I would love to see Peter Dinklage as Dr. Psycho, but I don't know the likelihood of that.
Brilliant. Well, and Peter Dinklage played a great villain in the X-Men franchise, Days of Future Past.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Oh, amazing movie. I loved it. But, I can't think of anybody who could play Dr. Psycho but Peter Dinklage. I think he would be a brilliant choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wanted to cover some actual comic book stuff. Have you been reading Rebirth?
I read the trade of The Lies and Year One, and that's about it.
Okay, so you're not reading any of the current stuff?
No.
Okay, well, apparently our boy Greg Rucka is leaving the issue with, or leaving the title with, issue 25.
Right.
Does this surprise you?
Not especially. No. They really seemed to bring him in to kind of just set up the origin and you know, reset the character and then give it off to new writers to build on what he created. So yeah. I wasn't maybe a little bit surprised, but not like shocked.
Sure. Sure. Cause I mean, there's a whole new creative team with issue 26. I don't know if you've read the preview yet, but have you? Shay Fontana apparently is taking over for Greg Rucka.
That name is familiar. Did she work on?
It's not familiar to me at all.
Shay Fontana. Did she work on Batgirl or was it Batgirl and the Birds of Prey? Let me look
here. It's a possibility. So, but the synopsis for the actual preview. It's called Heart of the Amazon, Part 1, and Wonder Woman finally takes a moment to catch her breath and attend a friend's wedding, but unfortunate horrors follow her even there. So, it doesn't sound like, I mean, the story sounds pretty pedestrian as as the story goes, mm-hmm. but I guess we'll have to wait and see, but... yeah, I'm not familiar with Shay Fontana or any of the other people that are on this title starting with 26.
Yeah, I looked her up. She's one of the people behind the DC Superhero Girls show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is...
That I am familiar with.
Is very cute.
It is very cute.
Yeah. My friend has a toddler, and she's very much into the DC Superhero Girls.
Yeah. Very good. Have you read Greg Rucka's run on the title previous to Rebirth?
A little bit, not as much as I'd like, but
not as much as you'd like. Okay,
I have read some.
Fair enough.
Previous
Fair
to enough. Rebirth, that would have been, was that like 06 ish?
Yeah, that was 2000. I think it was like 2004 to Infinite Crisis, maybe in 2005, 2006, somewhere around that. I think he did some post Infinite Crisis. But not much after that.
Okay.
So, I think it was definitely before the New 52 started.
Well, yeah, clearly.
Obviously.
Here we go. He started with the Hecatea in 2002. Okay. And then had a run in, looks like, 2004. Yeah.
Yep.
There we go. I've read a little bit of that. That's where she's very much a UN ambassador, right? And living in the Themyscira embassy.
Yeah, I have not read much of that stuff either.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot when post-Infinite Crisis is really the stuff that I'm more familiar with than anything else.
That was Gail Simone, right?
Was Gail Simone, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
She's one of the ones who wrote the movie that we're going to talk about. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Yep. Pretty cool.
Yeah. But that's pretty much all the news that I had to talk about, unless you had anything else.
No, not especially. Let me see here. What do we got on news? More countries are banning it because she's Israeli.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
You know, they have a right to ban whatever movie they want in their country for whatever reason they want, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel bad for the women and men over there who would like to see it but can't. But not much any of us can do.
Nope, unfortunately not. But, well, if you don't have anything else, my friend, I think we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to dive headlong into the actual Wonder Woman movie.
Sounds good.
Alrighty, we'll be right back, guys.
Beautiful as Aphrodite. Wise as Athena. Stronger than Hercules. Swifter than Mercury. explore the 75-year history of the Amazon Princess with Wonder Woman, Warrior for Peace, a monthly podcast available on iTunes, Stitcher, and at wonderwomanwarriorforpeace.wordpress.com.
And welcome back, everybody. Getting into the actual Wonder Woman film, this was released in 2009, and what were your initial reactions when you first watched this movie, or rewatched it, I should say, Angela?
The very first time I saw this was many years ago. I hadn't started podcasting. I knew almost nothing about the character. And so this movie was kind of very much influential in me becoming a Wonder Woman fan. That said, rewatching it now, I can see the problems with it that really don't match up with the way she's been portrayed in the comics.
Okay. Well, when I first watched this movie, I mean, I had been a Wonder Woman fan for years. My Wonder Woman fandom started with Justice League, the animated series. So, I mean, and this was before I read really anything comic related. So, I mean, this for me is the definitive, before the Wonder Woman film was even on a live action, was even on the horizon. This was probably the best thing that I thought we were ever going to get Wonder Woman related, because we were just not sure if Wonder Woman was ever going to get a live action film, much less how good it actually ended up being. But my first thought was, man, I love the music in this thing.
The music is great. I love it.
We'll talk a little bit more about the music as we get towards the tail end of the episode, because the end of the movie theme is what I use in my intro music.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact for anybody who has just caught back up to listening to me and haven't listened to any of the older episodes. I use the end theme in my actual intro. Overall the music is great. But I'm not very familiar with the 1940s origin. Was she made from clay?
Yes.
In the 1940s origin?
Yes, that is the original origin. Hippolyta sculpted her daughter from clay, and she was brought to life by the gods.
Yeah.
And I really loved that we got to see that scene recreated here in this movie.
Absolutely.
It's not exactly the same. Originally, it was more like a classical marble sculpture, but here we get to see Hippolyta go to the beach, dig up some sand, mold it into a baby, and then put a drop of her blood on the forehead, and the gods bring it to life. It's really great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and this, for me, I'm more familiar with the George Perez origin story, and it seemed to pull a lot from the George Perez version. I mean, there was a contest. She sculpted her out of clay, and I mean, like I said, I'm not familiar with the 1940s origin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they're somewhat the same, that George didn't completely change the origin from the 1940s version.
Right. He just added more detail.
Yeah.
I would say, he gave a little more backstory for the Amazons themselves, had them be created specifically by the gods to lead humanity.
Sure.
They were originally, well, you've read the Perez run, obviously. They were reincarnated from the women who were killed by men over the centuries. Yeah, he added stuff like that. The 40s origin is fairly basic, just the Amazons, and then, you know, attacked by Hercules, or, well, tricked by Hercules, and then they go off to Paradise Island.
Right. What were some of your favorite parts of this movie?
Any scene where Diana was there with the little girl. Those were easily the best parts of this film.
Yes, yep.
Teaching her to sword fight, and then at the end, when the little kid is like, look, it's Wonder Woman, and she's going off to fight Cheetah.
Yep.
Best part of this movie, easily, yep. Hands down.
See, for me, I think all the things with Steve Trevor in The Lasso of Truth, with both Hippolyta and Diana, those were probably some of the funniest moments for me in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole running gag of the whole crap thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it started with obviously Hippolyta. And I love that Diana, just don't use that language around me.
He was definitely played up for laughs in this one. Although,
totally.
Well, after seeing Chris Pine's version in the live action movie, it kind of doesn't feel like Steve almost. Mm. They gave him more personality than Steve normally has, but right. It's kind of a crass personality that traditionally Steve's not really like that. He's much less,
right.
You know, what other vile thoughts are you thinking? Oh, your daughter has a nice chest. Yeah, whatever. It's played up for laughs in the movie, which is fine, sure. But it doesn't match really what the character has been in previous versions, and even now with the live-action one.
Right, right. And of course, Trevor is voiced by Nathan Fillion,
mm-hmm.
who, I don't know if you're at all familiar with any of the other DC animated stuff, but he plays Green Lantern more often than not.
Okay.
In the actual DC animated movies. I mean, he played it in... I'm pretty sure he played it in Green Lantern First Flight. I think he played it... I know he played it in Justice League Doom. And he's just been a staple within this animated movie universe. So, I was happily surprised. I couldn't place the voice until I actually looked up who played him, and boom, there it is, Nathan Fillion.
So, yeah. I remember years and years ago, before the Green Lantern movie came out, somebody had cut together a fake trailer for a Green Lantern movie, and they used him as Hal Jordan, and it was really pretty good.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, no, I just think Nathan Fillion is a phenomenal voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of familiar voices in this movie. From the voice of Hippolyta, who played, her voice, the actress is escaping me, but...
Virginia Madsen.
She played in Justice League Unlimited as Roulette.
Okay.
And that's more what I know her from.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking in the back of my head, who in the world is this? I know that voice.
Right.
And I had to look it up, and I was like, oh, yeah. She played Roulette.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a fan of Justice League Unlimited? Or have you watched
I watched those a little bit when I was a kid. I never really went through episode by episode and watched the whole thing. I should do that at some point. Because from what I remember, yeah, I know. From what I remember, it was a pretty good show. I just haven't taken the time to sit down and go through everything. Other actors who were in this one, who were fairly famous, Alfred Molina, of course, played Ares,
yes.
Who was Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2. That's what I know him most from.
I have a note about that.
Yeah.
Me as a Spider-Man fan, I grew up on Spider-Man. I loved him in the 90s. That's the animated show I grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the live-action movies, I loved him as Doc Ock.
He was really great.
Phenomenal.
I still remember... I wasn't really into comics too much as a little kid. And then the first Spider-Man movie came out, and I loved that. And so I went to the library, and I got some Spider-Man comics, reprints of stuff from the 60s. And then, so I read all those, and I was like, oh, this is great. And then, like, crowning moment of awesome was when I Googled Spider-Man 2, clicked on the page, and saw this glorious picture of Alfred Molina as Doc Ock, yes. And I was like, oh, it's Doc
yes.
Ock! That's so cool!
Yes, yeah, no, absolutely.
And, of course, that has never been truly replicated since, because I'll always hear the casting news before the photos come out, so
sure.
I can kind of picture it in my head beforehand, but just that one, you know, I would have been, I don't remember, 13, 14, maybe 15. Mm-hmm. It was just mind-blowing.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I first saw Alfred Molina as as Dr. Otto Octavius. I was like, oh man, this guy's going to nail it. I mean, they even got it down to the right haircut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
that old-fashioned bowl cut. awesome.
Yeah.
But what are some of your other thoughts on this actual movie? Let's get into some stuff that you don't particularly care for.
I did notice that this movie, I mean, it had great action scenes, but also it was fairly violent. Like,
yes,
I would be more comfortable with a little girl watching the live-action version than this one.
Hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with that statement.
I'm even reading here on the Wikipedia page, they had to, apparently, they Bruce Timm said that they had to edit the first cut of the film so that it wouldn't be R-rated, which, I mean, good grief. This is an animated movie, and you're going to make it R-rated? Come on.
Yeah.
That's
ridiculous.
It did strike me as a little odd that the animated Wonder Woman movie, not the best for kids. Live-action Wonder Woman movie, much better for kids. Go figure.
Yeah, and I'm still not sure I would take like a 9-year-old to the live-action Wonder Woman movie.
Right, but it would be less... Depending on the maturity of the child, obviously, I could see the live-action one being a whole lot less traumatizing for a kid than this one.
I mean, for crying out loud, we get decapitations in this movie. I mean, twice.
Yeah, and versus the live-action one where she stabs Ludendorff and the sword doesn't even have any blood on it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, very, very violent for sure. But,
which is great for us adults. I love that. Like I said, really awesome action scenes of the Amazons fighting Ares' army and that fight with Deimos in the shopping mall was really awesome.
Yes.
What else? The sparring on Paradise Island was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably my second favorite character in this movie besides Diana was Artemis.
Oh yeah.
She had some great lines. The fact that she offers to shoot Diana in the leg to prevent her from leaving the island.
I'll miss an artery. It'll be fine. I don't know why this is a problem, Your Majesty.
And Hippolyta thanking her for it. You are my very soul, Artemis.
And then when they get to Washington and she's like, oh no, this is just my dagger. That is great, with this giant, two-handed greatsword.
Yeah, I had a note about that. I mean, she couldn't find probably a bigger sword in all of Paradise Island. Oh my gosh, hilarious.
Now,
hilarious.
She was played by Rosario Dawson, right?
Rosario Dawson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, who of course, she's in the Marvel Netflix series as Claire... What's her last name? Claire something, the nurse.
Yeah.
But then, of course,
I'm
she did.
A blank too.
She's also voiced Wonder Woman herself in some of the Justice League direct-to-video movies. And then she was Batgirl in the Lego Batman movie.
Mm-hmm. She also played, I don't know if you're much of a Disney fan, but she played the head enforcer in the last Tinkerbell movie. She was like a fairy enforcer. Hmm. So,
okay, I've seen a few of those, but not too many of them.
Yeah, it was Tinkerbell and the Legend of the Never Beast.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, Rosario Dawson has done a wide range of stuff, and she's been great in all of it, especially the Marvel stuff on Netflix.
Yeah.
So... like you said earlier in the episode, I really love Diana teaching the little girl basically to disembowel somebody.
I kind of want to ask somebody who actually knows about sword fighting if that's accurate information, but it makes for a great scene.
It's not accurate.
Was it? The stabbing, thrusting with the sword instead of a slash? I don't know. I'm not that familiar with disemboweling people, I guess.
No, I'm not either. probably one of my least favorite characters, and she's not around a lot. I mean, she's got
in name only. I know who you're talking about. In yes. name only.
Etta Candy.
In name only. She's in no way Etta Candy.
No.
Give her literally any other name. As a character, she's fine. But literally
might as well
any
just
other
name.
Name
her Jenny.
Yeah. You know, call her Diana. Well, not Diana. Wow, I'm stupid. Call her Melanie. Call her, you know.
Something.
Anything
other than.
Than Etta Candy. There's probably. What was the. There's gotta be. I remember from the 40s. Technically speaking, Diana was the general secretary, and somebody else was Steve's secretary. Was that Lila Brown, I want to say? Call her Lila Brown. That would be more accurate than calling this obnoxious, clingy, you know, whiny, well, not whiny, but, you know, this this very not Etta Candy character, calling her Etta Candy. Etta Candy, because I don't think you've mentioned her on your show much, she is this amazing, her original incarnation, she was a college student at Holiday College, and she was Wonder Woman's best friend. She is named Etta Candy, well, not because she's eating candy all the time, technically, but she is always eating candy. So she is a very she's a rather large girl. And she has this amazing, boisterous personality and truckload of self-confidence, and she is amazing. And to choose that name for this obnoxious woman character here was just... Gail, you know I love you, but no, that's not Etta Candy.
Yeah, no, not at all. And I think you make the joke on your show, Eat a Candy.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was supposed to be pronounced Eat a Candy or Etta Candy. I just say Etta just because it's easier than.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Etta. So, you know. But, also another thing that you could definitely tell that this is not for kids. I mean, Diana basically drinks Steve under the table.
Yes, very, very Marion Ravenwood scene there.
Yeah, I mean, holy cow. I mean, Diana can definitely hold her liquor. So
she is an Amazon.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. I really love the scene of Diana fending off like the muggers after they had left the bar.
Yeah.
Just a great scene. And then, I mean, Steve is such an idiot, not in this movie. Not only the fact that he tried to get Diana drunk, but, I mean, then he's basically getting pwned by this dude that Ares sent after him.
Mm-hmm.
Had to have Diana rescue him, so... You know,
that is Steve's traditional role, getting in trouble and getting out of it by help of Wonder Woman. He is the damsel in distress, for lack of a better term.
Yep. Absolutely. What did you think of Steve's speech while Diana was in the hospital?
I liked it. He makes good points. I don't know that it necessarily fits with the way his character has gone throughout the movie.
Sure.
But in general, I do agree with a lot of the stuff he says.
Yeah, no, I do too. And during that scene has one of my favorite lines from him. You crazy Amazonian dragon lady.
Accurate. Possibly more accurate for Artemis, but still, in this case, accurate.
Oh, yeah, Artemis for sure. But, you know. Oh, goodness. What else?
Following up on that one, what did you think of when he accidentally gets his foot caught in the lasso?
Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I mean, he's spilling his guts, and he's like, why in the world am I saying this? It's like, dang it, you guys better not be able to reproduce this. Great.
absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Great scene.
Now, I did notice, though, when he was first caught in the lasso, he was sort of kind of able to tell a lie. I don't know if they weren't paying attention.
Probably said, not.
You know, Hippolyta is questioning him, and he's giving her answers. Then at one point, he's like, I don't have to put up with this. And it's like, yeah, dude, you kind of do.
Yeah.
little flaw in the writing there, but that's more of a CinemaSins problem than a an actual story problem.
I love the fact that they included the invisible plane in this film,
which just appears out of nowhere with no explanation. But let's overlook it because it's helpful in the movie.
Sure. You know, this movie was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I loved a lot of it. And like I said, I mean, this is the only Wonder Woman that I thought we were going to get.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, this was 2009, right? They had just canceled the Joss Whedon Wonder Woman movie that was supposed to come out 2 years mm-hmm. earlier. And
not to mention, not far after this, was the live action TV version.
Oh yeah, that pilot that never got picked
up.
Which probably not a bad thing if we're going to be honest.
Have you seen the pilot?
Yeah, I saw it once ages ago, and
it's terrible. It is so bad.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm actually glad that they didn't move forward with that. So
probably for the best. I know at some point they were talking about a show where she's like a kid on, or maybe like a teen on Paradise Island.
I think it was supposed to be called Amazons, and I think it was supposed to be debuted on the CW. But
right.
I don't know whatever came about with that.
Oh, show. There is a long, long list of CW shows. I think mostly before Arrow that were supposed to come out but never did. There was supposed to be a Blue Beetle show. There was supposed to be a Raven show. They filmed a pilot for an Aquaman show, and that just didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
The list is very long. It started
was that
with
Aquaman before Smallville.
No, that was I think during Smallville. It was all going off of Smallville. They had Smallville, which was successful. They had Birds of Prey, which was not successful. And then they kept trying, or at least coming up with ideas and making announcements, but then stuff never actually happened.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if we'll ever get. I mean, we've got Superman on TV. I mean, he was played by Tyler Hoechlin on Supergirl. I don't know if we'll ever see Wonder Woman in any of the DC TV universe or the Arrowverse, as it has been dubbed.
Yeah, I think technically they can't use her and her characters for Arrow. There's some legal thing where it's like. These certain characters you can use in conjunction with others, but you can't use these other characters, and it's all a big legal mess.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I mean, even to the point where Siegel and Shuster, the creators of Superman, have been credited for now Supergirl, even though that she's...
Well, that would have been, Otto Binder and Al Plastino, wasn't it?
Binder and Al Plastino that create, and it ticks me off every time that their name is mentioned with Supergirl.
They created Superman and Krypton. They set the groundwork, but
They didn't create the character.
Yeah, no, not really. Huh.
Kind of ticks me off that they're credited.
Yeah,
but whatever. That is what that is.
Yeah.
But did you have anything else on the actual Wonder Woman film?
I don't think so. I think we covered most of what I had here. Looking over the plot summary. What did you think of Hippolyta and Ares having a kid? That was one of the things that when I first saw it, I wouldn't have cared, but now that I know the lore and the history, it kind of is unsettling to think about.
It almost seemed like that part of it was like completely glossed over, almost to the point where it was just a mention.
Yeah.
I mean, he was killed in the opening scene.
Right.
So it kind of bothers me, but I, in a way, I kind of wish that they hadn't done the whole Ares as the bad guy thing. Mm-hmm. I wish they had just gone and completely adapted George Perez's number one and done Hercules and that entire thing.
Yeah, but then the problem is that later Ares becomes the villain, and it would be rather complicated to try to bring him in. I can understand why they did it, just to simplify it for this. The movie's only 75 minutes, so it's not like they have a lot of time.
No, that's for sure. So, you know, I mean, Ares and Hippolyta, I mean, it's not much different than Hades and Hippolyta in Justice League, the animated series. So, you know, Hippolyta definitely has a thing for the male gods, whether it be Ares or Hades or whomever. I mean, now she's even gotten with Zeus, which don't get me started.
Yeah, no, let's not go down that road. That was
I'm sure you hate it just as much as I do.
Reading the actual issues, it wasn't too bad, but well, mostly because I knew it was coming. But yeah, just the whole idea in general that she has that she and Zeus have this affair, and then she gives birth to Diana. It's just like, you're just going against the whole point of her origin, but okay, whatever, let's just get over it so that we can move on and see Wonder Woman in that trench fighting the Germans. That one I'm good with.
Well, I actually wasn't referring to the movie, I was referring to
the New 52. Yeah, okay. Now, the problem is with the movie taking that same origin, that's what most people are going to know from here on out, you know. It's if you say, hey, what was Wonder Woman's origin, they're going to give you the movie origin, because most people, well, the movie has millions and millions of viewers, the comics have significantly less, but, you know.
Yeah, I've only watched Wonder Woman once, so my friend Danny and I talked about it on a few episodes ago. Mm-hmm. So, I could have sworn that they had used the clay version. And not the...
Hippolyta mentioned the clay origin, but it was kind of more of a fairy tale. Like, you know, telling little kids about the stork and or finding the baby under a cabbage leaf or whatever it is that you tell the kid.
I must have missed it then.
Yeah. The implication was very much that she was the daughter of Zeus and Hippolyta.
Yeah,
although they did leave it up to interpretation a little bit.
Yeah, they did. So, I don't know. I mean, an origin is an origin as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they move forward with it, that's all. As long as we get Wonder Woman, that's all that really matters to me. I don't care what origin it is. As long as it's not crappy. As long as it's somewhat good, I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, a truer version than several of the live action version incarnations we've had over the years. Like have you seen the little like 10-minute pilot that the people who did the Adam West Batman series came up with?
No.
Yeah, it's real bad. it's very very awkward and just.
Oh dear.
I am in no way regretful that didn't get picked up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I haven't. I mean, besides the pilot that was back in like 2010, I haven't seen anything else besides that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, but I think that's all we have for this episode. Angela, thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
Thanks for inviting me, Andrew. Honestly, okay. Don't take this the wrong way, but you being gone for so long helped inspire me to create because I wanted to listen to Wonder Woman podcast, right? So I looked up Wonder Woman podcast and I found your show and I listened
and
to all three of your episodes and I was like, well, that's a little, I mean, you know, that was fine, but there's no more. That's the end. That's disappointing. So, you know, this idea was ruminating in the back of my head for years. You know, I'd love to listen to a Wonder Woman podcast, but there are none. And eventually one day I happened to buy a mic for something else. And I was just like, oh, hey, wait, I could do a podcast.
I could do a podcast.
Hey, that's cool. I should think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even even when I was developing my show, I was just like, okay, so what do I call it? What do people know about Wonder Woman? Well, they know she's an Amazon, and they know she's a princess. People like princesses. Why don't I call it Wonder Woman, Princess of the Amazons? And then I, like, Googled it, and I was like, oh, right, that was the name of his show. Nope, can't go with that. Gotta find something else.
Oh, goodness. Well, I am sincerely sorry that I stole your title.
Oh, no. Trust me, I like Warrior for Peace. It's much more... I mean, well, your title is fine. No, nothing wrong with it. Mine is much more an aspect of the character that I like to focus on, how she is both a warrior and tries to focus on compassion over battle.
I agree. You know, and I'm sorry to say, but I've had to stop listening to your show because I haven't read a lot of the early George Perez stuff, and I don't want to spoil myself.
Yeah, that's understandable.
So I will catch up, but only after I've covered up to a certain point. I'm
not
trying to
problem.
Get ahead of you, which is not an easy feat.
Well, I only go an issue, an episode, so, well, for the Perez. So
for the Perez stuff,
if you read through, I think, the first trade or two, I think, at this point, I have the giant omnibus, so it's much quicker, or it's easier to lose track of where I am, but.
I actually buy most of my stuff digitally.
See, I'm not the world's biggest fan of digital comics. I prefer to have...
Oh, really?
I like to support, you know, booksellers and physical bookstores and...
Sure.
Plus, digital comic, it's just pure profit for DC, and they've ticked me off enough at times that I like to give them slightly less of my money.
I'm right there with you. Unfortunately, our favorite character is Wonder Woman, so...
Well, their characters are good. The way they handle them, not necessarily always the best, but...
Yeah.
Hope springs eternal. Maybe the next reboot will be good.
Well, I'm hoping there won't be another reboot.
Well, yeah, no, not... I'm thinking more New 52 era. Now that we have Rebirth, things are getting back on track, I would say.
Well, and Rebirth, as you know, is a return to the post-crisis... versions of the characters.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how that works with continuity, if these are we're literally going back to the post-crisis or some kind of melding between the two, or the New 52 characters are becoming influenced by the post-crisis. I don't know how that's supposed to work as like a storytelling device, because I'm not keeping up with all of it, but it definitely seems like it's going more towards how it used to be that the fans like and less focused on all the changes that they have.
Well, I think Jeff Johns was listening to the fans when he decided to come up with the idea of Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read the DC Universe Rebirth special?
No, not the Rebirth special. I read the Wonder Woman Rebirth issue, but not...
The DC Universe special explains a lot.
Okay, I'll have to look into that.
I would encourage you to track down a copy of that, because it's how they're moving forward with it.
Yeah.
So.
Honestly, I'm reading and reviewing 3 comics per month for my podcast, plus an episode of the TV show. I don't have much time for anything
A lot of stuff. You cover almost everything except Rebirth on your show.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Which is really awesome. So.
I'm doing pre-crisis. Post-crisis, New 52, and Linda Carter, all with, you know, detailed summaries, and then my thoughts on it, and then, yeah, it's... I don't have time to read many other comics, unfortunately.
Now, when is your next episode coming out?
July sometime. I can almost guarantee you that. I've read the issues,
enough.
I need to write up stuff, I need to start working. Because I wanted my episode for June to come out the same day as the movie, I had to rush really fast and get almost 2 episodes out at once. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to give myself a week's break. I'm going to not have to, I'm going to stay away from Wonder Woman stuff. And then I'll go back. And my week long sabbatical sort of kind of became a month ish. So I need to get back on the horse and start working on that.
Yeah. Well, it'll happen when it does. I mean, you're okay. It's only the third of the month, so
yeah.
You have 27, 28 more days.
Yeah, you say that, but those days, they fly quick.
They do fly quickly, yep. And, I mean, getting a weekly show is challenging enough.
Oh, yeah, no, I would die. I would not sleep. I would be dead. You have my respect for your weekly schedule, man. That would be crazy.
I appreciate that. You know, it is hard. Yeah. It is very hard. And fortunately, most of these, I mean, I pull a lot of my synopsises from Amazon Archives, mm-hmm. which have a lot of great information.
They do. I personally prefer to do it myself, just to... something I want to do with my show is I don't want to be copying what other people are doing, so I'm writing my own recaps and focusing on the stuff that I want to focus on versus what somebody else did.
That's fair enough. I just wish I had the time to synopsize it myself.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I do not.
Not with a weekly show, no.
I work full time and have a wife and stuff. So
yeah, you.
Therefore, having a weekly show, it's just one of those things where I've got to make some sacrifices as far as, and that's one of them. Mm-hmm. And I give them ample credit. So
yeah.
But
well, if you ever need me to come back on to talk about something. So that, you know, you can get an episode out. Anytime you wanna do that, let me know and we can work it out.
Of course. Probably. You are welcome back on the show anytime, Angela.
Cool.
You are an ample friend to this show.
Thank you.
So, but I think that's going to do for it, guys. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you sometime next week. See you later.
Bye-bye.